And it's the people at Breakers, they've done it again.
Is this the biggest panel we've ever had on, Jason?
One day you have a guy throwing mid-70s, and next week you have a guy throwing 55-mile fastballs.
Hello and welcome, people of the internet, to Ball Caps and Bagpipes. I am one of your hosts, Danny Quinn, outfielder for the Glasgow Comets.
And I am Ross Marnie, or Bash, from the Table Breakers, second baseman.
Great. How you doing, Bash? You all right, man?
Yourself?
I'm good. I've been happy that the Yankees are above the Blue Jays in the division, but everyone else in the AL East is above the Blue Jays in the division, so that's been a good start of the year for us, man. How you been watching your Blue Jays? What they been like, man? What's been happening?
There is no need for that animosity. Couple weeks for the Jays, I'm not going to lie. We had a closed-door meeting the other day. Things are bad. We're now called the Flu Jays because half the team have got the flu at the moment, so that's not helping either. But we did beat Baltimore last night, so we'll take that.
I saw that, man. I saw all the Yankees fans going on to Blue Jays Twitter thanking them, and I was just like, that's what we need to be doing, thanking the Blue Jays for doing the thing that we couldn't do, and that was beat the Orioles, man. The Orioles are just such a young team, man. They all look the same. They got Corbin Burns this year, so they're just a really dominant team. Like, you've seen much of the games with the Orioles?
I've watched a few because I like watching them play anyway.
Yeah.
If I'm not going to watch the Jays, I'll probably watch the Orioles if they're on. Young. I mean, they're going to be around for... That team's going to be around for 5-6 years.
Yeah.
They're all kind of at the same age, and they're all just monsters. Every one of them. They've got guys like Westburn and Couser. Just come out of nowhere.
And they all play. You know, they had the ability to send down was it Jackson Holliday, didn't they? They brought him up and then just sent him right back down again.
I was looking forward to watching him play. I seen him play a couple of days, first couple of games, didn't get any hits. I think he got one hit in 36 at bats or something like that. It's hard. It's tough. It's a big step up, but I want to see him come back up and see what he can do.
Yeah. Do you think your big left fielder and Tay-Pop Breakers could clear the left field wall in Baltimore? I think he's got a shot, by the way.
Probably could. Big Evan could probably clear a few fences, yeah.
He had a pop-up at the weekend that was a home run. I couldn't believe it, man. It was so high up, and I was like, that's going to be in the infield, and it just carried 250 feet over the fence, man. Like,
I know. I was looking, I'm like, he's not got hold of it. He's not got hold of it. And I'm like, oh, no, it's gone. See you later.
Yeah, I was in center field and I was like, I saw Matt going back. I was like, Matt, leave it. It just stayed up in the air for so long, man. It's actually quite scary being in center field and like, just don't hit it to me, man. If this is a line drive, I'm getting out of the way. Like,
He's a monster, absolute monster of a guy. Is that right?
Really nice guy, but man, I spoke to him. He was I think he was third base coaching for the single A, and he was really, really nice guy, man.
Great teammate, you know. He's always giving the guys advice and tips. If he's watching us bat, he's always giving us some kind of advice, or he's seeing something that we need to change or tweak or something. Yeah, great, great guy, great teammate, and hell of a player already, as you can see.
Yeah. Did you catch Paul Skeens coming up? Did you watch that game?
I did. I was tuned in for the whole game. Well, until the rain delay. He is a freak.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how big he was.
What? How big is he? Is he?
I didn't have a big, big fit. He looks massive on the mound.
Right.
So I looked at a couple of stats. He was averaging 101.9 for his fastball. 100.1 for his fastball. He topped out 101.9, so just under 2 miles an hour. His split and his slider are just as nasty. He had 7 strikeouts in 4 innings, which isn't that. Debut, you take that.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be an exciting one to watch. You look at guys like Hunter Green's a good example, where he's got a big fastball as well, but Skeens looks like he's just got lots in the tank, where, like you say, so, you know, different looks, and that must be incredibly scary to face, intimidating as an offensive force, isn't it, man? Like, it's an exciting picture to watch when you can see stuff like that, and he locates well as well. You know, he wasn't giving up a ton of walks on that.
I think when he was ramping up a little bit, he was losing his command a little bit in his fastball, but you'll get that. You know, that'll come. As the more he's probably super excited as well as his debut in MLB. He's going to be a bit more amped up and ramped up for this. Not going to be quite in control as he'd like to be, but what I think he had 84 balls called for strikes, either a called strike or a swing and a miss.
I saw that he was like the top 10 fastest pitches or something, like in the MLB this year has all been him, and he's had one start. Yeah. So
wild.
Yeah. I never actually saw him because my wife watches the Eurovision Song Contest that night. So that means that I watch the Eurovision Song Contest that night as well. Just need to do what I'm told, man. So we ended up watching that. But actually, I don't have any superstitions about baseball, but I seem to always hit really well the day after the Eurovision Song Contest. And I think it's that I'm just angry at a lot of the shite that gets posted on there. Or that I stay up drinking till like 1 a.m. and my body just reacts to seeing a baseball. So my only superstition is I watch a Eurovision Song Contest and I play okay the next day.
Played very well on Sunday. You did.
I think Ryan made me look good, man. He had about 3 or 4 balls directly to me out in centre field. So
I don't know. Your hitting was good as well, though, bud. You were had a few good hits as well.
I really wanted to catch your one, man. Yours landed about 2 feet in front of me, and I was like, "Damn!" I was like, "I really want to catch this." And even when it dropped, I was like, "Why throw him out at first base?"
please drop. Yes.
Good. I hit for both of us, man. That brings us on nicely to actually, we'll cover a wee bit of the past couple of weeks. So let's look at the Triple A, and I'll. So the AAA week 5, Glasgow Galaxy bet the Glasgow Comets 12-6, Edinburgh Cannons bet the Diamond Devils 14-4, and you guys went up to Aberdeen and you won 25-2. What was our field like, man? I've not been up to the field yet. You
really liked it. Field, it's in Bridge of Dawn.
Yeah.
About maybe 5 minutes from the old field, but it's nice, really nice. I liked it. Yeah. They were a bit unlucky. They've got a really good pitcher, Canadian guy. I can't remember his name, I'm afraid. Really good pitcher. He started off for them. Their catcher, he was giving it his all, but he got beat up in the first two innings. Right. I think it was his first time catching. And the guy was throwing pretty hard. Took one to the ribs. He took 2 or 3 to the toe. One inside of his leg, I think. So he was getting beat up and he eventually had to come out. He couldn't catch anymore. So their pitcher ended up going to catch. So they lost their pitcher and their catcher and the same kind of thing. After that, we tagged on a lot more runs. But it was a pretty tight game the first inning or two. Maybe 3 innings. But yeah, great ballpark. A lot of young guys I've not really seen play before there. But yeah, nice place.
It's good for Aberdeen to have that. To you know, obviously they've been through some turbulent times, and we're going to get into that, I guess, from another perspective throughout this. But to see them put together a team and, you know, give a competition, you know, however friendly to another team is always good, man. So it's a huge commendment. Commendment is a word. If commendment's a word, it's a huge commendment to Casey. Yeah, what she's doing up there. In the single A that week, we had the Glasgow Comets against Glasgow Galaxy. We won 12-11. Edinburgh Knights versus Edinburgh Angels. Knights won 17-13. We actually went into the bottom of the fifth inning, down 6 runs and only having 1 hit. And we managed to walk away with a win. So, you know, Galaxy have been in both leagues a really good side this year. It'll be exciting to see how they do. I think in the A side, speaking to Roy at the weekend, it just comes through pitching depths, as it usually is in A-League. You just need to take time to build people up. But they hit really, really well. And the Comets, you know, we've got a few additions doing well fielding and things. And Roberto's always very accurate when he's on the mound too now. So it's good to see that. Happy to walk away with a win there. The most I'll try and get through this quite quickly, Bash, but we'll spend a bit of time in this week, actually, because this week with the Triple A, Galaxy bet the Cannons 3-2. You guys at Tape Up Breakers bet us the Comets 14-11. I really enjoyed that game, man. That was a really enjoyable game. It just so close throughout, man. How did you find it?
No, it was a great game, yeah. I think David pitched really well for you guys. And I think your base running was so aggressive.
Yeah.
You were great on the base paths. David's pitching was fantastic.
David's always really good. I don't know if you noticed, but I saw you pick. I was out in centre field, obviously, and I saw you took a big whiff at David's fastball. The breeze knocked my moustache off and it flew over the centre field fence, which is why I'm sporting the rugged look now, man. But David's just got a really intimidating fastball, man. And he's got a good curveball, good breaking speeds too. I think with the Comets, it does just come down to who else can we get alongside David? Because when you've got somebody that good, you want to prop them up with other pitchers, you know? Yep. So it's just trying to get that depth, isn't it, man? But I felt Shin Yen started quite shaky. You usually see your Shin Yen really in control. Obviously, he hit me in the elbow. I looked at the mound. I was going to charge him. He looked at me and said, "That one's for your shitty wee podcast." And I went, "I'm just going to leave it. He's pretty intimidating." So, nah. Shin Yen's a gentleman, man. I love Shin Yen.
Sorry after it as well.
I was saying sorry, man. It was lucky I turned away. You know what the problem is? His stuff breaks all the time, so you need to stay in there. Otherwise, you're just going to make yourself look stupid. So I just stayed in a second too late. As I turned away, it kind of just grazed my elbow, so it was absolutely fine.
Take the base. All that matters, get that gallon base.
Yeah. Well, but I felt he settled in really well, man. He commands the game really well, man. Your defense was good. But obviously, we're bringing in some players as well. And I think your outfield might be one of the biggest arms in the outfield I've seen, man, because every one of them can throw.
Yeah. On Sunday, we had Ryan, Avon, and Matt. We've got a new guy, Matt, in Canada. He's got a big arm too. Although that was Ryan's last ever game for us. He's moving back to the States tomorrow.
Ah, that's wild, man.
Yeah. That was the last ever game.
He's a good player. He's a really good player, man.
Player, great hitter, fielder, pitch for us. He'd do it all. Great teammate. So, yeah, we're sad to see Ryan go. He's got home in Tape Order. If he comes back, he's always welcome coming and play with us again.
Yeah. Glasgow Galaxy gave the Cannons their first loss in a year and a half. That's wild, man. That's a really close game there. I was speaking to Ian Davidson before, and he's like, I think Galaxy might do it because they have a couple of extra pieces in their pitching depth. They've obviously bet the Breakers and the Comets as well as, they're flawless this season so far. So a really strong team, man, going up against really strong pitching. So looks like it was a really tight one, but they walked out of Edinburgh with a win, man. So were you surprised by that?
Yeah. I was on our bench. We were batting. It must mean we were batting. And I heard Ali from you guys. I heard him talk to Sen Son about the Galaxy just beat the Cannons 3-2. And I'm talking to somebody else. I'm like, hang on a minute. Ali, what did you just say? He's like, yeah, beating 3-2. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Galaxy are unbeaten right now, but that's still, I guess you still don't expect it from the Cannons. Although I will say that's just going to make them even more hungry, even more dangerous next game.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? As you say, the next streak's always around the corner. They'll be keen to get back on the wagon. I don't know who they've got next week, but I think we get the Devils. I don't know who the Cannons have got, but they'll be looking for a win.
We're Galaxy, so it must be Aberdeen.
They'll be looking for that win. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, man. And good luck to the Galaxy. The really good solid showing for them. And then we had Galaxy at Knights. I think it was tied up going into the fifth inning, and the Knights just took it. They remain undefeated so far in their campaign, and we went against you guys. Roberto pitched really well. As you say, the game sort of won on base running. Ethan didn't give up a hit at all, but still gave up quite a lot of runs just due to, not a lot of runs considering when you look at the score, but he gave up some runs just due to well, control more than anything.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Like we said, he throws so hard. And it's hard for Ailish sometimes to catch up with that. It's like she's not got a ton of experience, so it's always going to be hard to catch up with that. But yeah, it's just, you know, things to work on, things to learn.
He's a young guy, man. He'll be developing all the time. So he'll be an absolute monster. I actually think that probably when I'm looking at it, he's got a stronger arm than a lot of pitching we see in Tripoli, I think.
He does have a big arm. Yeah, he does. Even watching him like in outfield for us, he'll play outfield for us. And some of the throws thing, I just, you know, just lob that in there.
Yeah. A laser beam into it, it's just straight through there.
Yeah.
It was a good game. Again, it was a tight game, man. I got to play a wee bit in that game. Hit one of your players, which I was quite happy about, and then came out with a win. I hate hitting people, man. Absolutely hate it. I felt awful. I went up to John after it, and I was like, I'm so sorry, man. Like, there's no worse feeling when you let that ball out your hand and it's just sailing towards somebody, man. You just heart in the throat, like, ah.
I pitch all the time. It's fine. Don't worry about it. He's just I did came on as well, though, just so you know.
You what?
I did boo you when you came on.
I know, I enjoyed that actually. It cut the tension a wee bit. I liked the boos. I felt a bit like a wrestling heel, man, with a big mustache and getting the boos out the crowd. That was good.
Yeah.
We got a good guest on tonight. You'll know him well, Bash, because you used to play with him in Aberdeen. He's been on this podcast before. He has been banished from Scotland, so he's moved out to Arkansas. How you doing, Stephen? You all right?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's good. Hey. I said to you, we'll probably just stick you backstage 5 minutes, and then I went off on a huge tangent back and forth with Bash for the past 20 minutes. So
I enjoyed it.
how's things been since you've been back home? All right, man.
Yeah, they've been good. About a week ago, though, I got a scare from a tornado, though. So tornado passed by my house, less than a mile from my house, and that was an intense night. But other than that, pretty good.
That's a real welcome back to Marca moment, isn't it, man? You don't get any tornadoes in Aberdeen, like.
No tornadoes in Aberdeen, but got them here in Arkansas.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Happy birthday as well, by the way. I know it's your birthday.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you. Yep, I turned 30 for the sixth year in a row.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go, man. There you go.
For 29, 29 for the sixth year in a row.
Yeah.
I know you've been in this podcast before, Stephen, but maybe for people that haven't tuned in before, just give us a wee rundown of your sort of baseball journey, how long you've been playing for, what position you played, etc. Everything prior to coming to Scotland.
All right. Yeah, so, I've basically been playing baseball my entire life, and I'm 35 now. So, grew up in the States playing baseball, two-year letterman in high school varsity. I was a pitcher in third base in high school, and then walked on to a D2 school, and I was a pitcher in college before joining the military. I was a pitcher for the military team for a couple seasons, and then I hurt my shoulder. So don't throw as hard as I used to. But after the military, I moved to Scotland to attend the University of Aberdeen and started a baseball club there for the city, started a youth program, then started the university program as well. And got involved with baseball in Scotland. So been going strong ever since.
So because you were the Navy, weren't you? Merchant Navy. So were you technically the first submarine pitcher in Aberdeen?
I wasn't a submariner. I was on an aircraft carrier, but I see where you're going with that. So
Donnie, use that line, by the way. You've been thinking about that all week, haven't you?
Yeah, man, I've got out a little book of dad jokes. I'm like, right, look at the sections that cross Navy, you know, and baseball. There it is.
It's funny you mention that, though. When I was thinking about getting out of the Navy or staying in, they offered me to cross rate, so change jobs to be a cook on a sub. So I could have been a submariner.
Yeah,
but I opted to get out and go to college and get my degree.
So, Bash, maybe you're better asking about the sort of start-up of Aberdeen here, because you were involved in the early stages of Aberdeen. So why don't you back on that?
See, what was the biggest kind of challenges you had when you first came to Aberdeen and starting up the Oilers baseball team? What was the biggest things that were standing in your way?
Finding enough players, I'd say. So before I moved over, I actually got in touch with Jason Durr out of Edinburgh, and he linked me up with Miles Peterson, who was also moving from Edinburgh to Aberdeen. And he said, hey, you know, I've got a guy here. He's a catcher. He plays multiple positions. He's going to be moving to Aberdeen as well. So I told him I want to get involved with baseball, potentially start a club up there. So we got going, and there was a handful of guys already in the city, you know, throwing a baseball around, but not forming a team yet. And I got us scheduled in I moved there. I think it was, yeah, I landed in London on September 11th, 2013. And by the end of September, we were playing our first friendly in Edinburgh with eight players. We had to borrow one from Edinburgh, but we played a friendly. And then by the start of the season in 2014, we had 15 guys. But yeah, just finding enough players to have a team. And then after that, finding a place to actually play, I'd say were the biggest challenges at first.
It was a nice old
Aberdeen. Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. Missed the old field. You know, I heard y'all talk about Aberdeen's new field. Mm-hmm. That's actually that's university grounds. And back in the 90s or something like that, there used to be a youth field up there, because Miles was telling me like that's where he used to play at when he would come to Aberdeen to play some youth games up there. So it's kind of funny how it moved back to its original beginnings there. So I haven't seen much of the field though.
Yeah, what was it? Was that a big shock to the system? I guess obviously growing up and playing in America, where the weather's a bit better than adjusting to playing in the greyness of Aberdeen. Were you surprised? Or what was the challenges with the weather there?
With weather being a bit better, yeah. yeah, no, weather was definitely a shock to the senses. You know, like we'd start playing baseball here in you know, February, and it can be chilly. You know, you might have a couple games where it snows a little bit, but most of the season, you know, it's short sleeves and you're sweating, and over there your long sleeves in July, you know. So you might have a couple good weeks of weather, but yeah, the weather was a fun factor. I remember we played the one season that we should have won the league, but we finished second. We played a game in Edinburgh against the Giants when they were still around, and it was just absolute pissing down. And I was like, we had to get the games in, but we lost those two games. And
it was a double.
Yeah, it was a doubleheader, and I wound up slipping on a throw, and yeah, I wasn't able to pitch the second game like I was intending to do, and yeah, we lost both games, and that knocked us out of first place.
That game, and I'm getting near the bridge end, but it's just black. I'm like, there's no way these games can go ahead. There's no way we're going to play. Yeah. Sure enough, we're going to play two games. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was not a pleasant experience, but you know, that's Scottish baseball for you, so
yeah, that's
part of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Love it.
So you came over here, you were involved in getting Aberdeen up and running off the ground. Obviously Aberdeen, I think the year you're talking about would have been right in saying where you should have won the league, was that 2019 or was that another
2018,
year?
2018, right. Yeah.
What was it like managing the transition? Obviously, Aberdeen sort of fluctuated where they went from being a really strong contender. You had two teams, 2018, 2019, and probably before. I was only about for 19. But how was it managing that transition of, you know, they started the weekend a bit, people started to leave to go home. Obviously, the emergence of Tayport, for some people, geographically, Tayport made more sense for them. How did you... Batches... out the way. How did you manage that transition? What were the difficulties there? Because you're still wanting to be competitive, aren't you?
Yeah. Sadly, I was part of that, you know, transition away from Aberdeen as well during its decline there for a little bit. But yeah, when Tayport started up, you know, they basically became Aberdeen South, you know, the amount of former Aberdeen players up there. Scott Black, Maria. Ross, everybody, yeah. So no, they're a good group. I like Tayport. it was just a challenge to find, you know, replacement for the talent that we lost. You know, I think Freddie moved to Edinburgh, Connor moved to Edinburgh, Miles moved to London. So did Jared. You know, we lost a lot of the core players from the club that really like helped form the club in those top times, you know. And so losing that, it's going to be hard for any club, you know, just that core group of players and finding replacements and stuff like that. And, you know, I think Casey's done a good job, you know, bridging the gap, you know, but that'd been hard on anybody. So, you know, I didn't envy that position, you know, that she's been put in recently. So.
Steven, I don't know. I'm guessing you probably follow the university team on Facebook and whatnot, but there seems to be a huge group of the players there. None of them seem to come to the Oilers though. Yeah.
I don't know what's up with that. I mean, like when I was there, you know, the university club, 80% of the university club played for the city team, you know? Yeah. And so I don't know. I follow them on Facebook. I'm actually still, because I created the Facebook page, I'm still an admin for the university Facebook page. And so when they get a message, it pops up on my phone. Hey, University Avenue Baseball Club has a Facebook. It's like, I just ignore it, you know? But it would be good if they could, you know, reestablish that connection and give those players that are playing at the university a place to play in the summer, you know, bridge that gap and really draw from that potential talent pool. But I'm not sure the talent level at the university, because I saw they were losing to Sterling and stuff like that. And
yeah, I couldn't tell you what the talent is, but at least there's more bodies coming in.
Yeah.
Give them two of our guys to play the game, you know?
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing the group on Facebook think, wow, they've got so many people at this committee meeting. And none of them are going to Oilers.
That club has really grown, and I'm really proud of that, you know, that we started that club with maybe 15 people as well, and see how strong it's gotten and everything. So that's does my heart good. You know, it's like a little bit of my lasting legacy there. So just wish the main field could have stayed put, because I like that location.
It was a nice
yeah. Place. I like having that broad hill in the background. You know, people, when football was playing, people would sit on top of the hill and watch baseball. And
but
we got in a fight in the parking lot before a baseball game.
You were involved in the Aberdeen uni team. You were involved with Stirling Uni as well, were you?
A little bit, yeah. I was in communication with the founder of that club as well. When they were starting up and kind of giving them some pointers and stuff like that, helped them, got them some equipment as well. And then when I attended the University of Stirling, after leaving Aberdeen, I was intending to play for them, but that was the year COVID hit. So there wasn't really any baseball. And so I went to a few practices, but it just kind of waned out with no baseball being played really. So it was unfortunate, because I would have liked to have been able to play for Stirling with my old club, you know. That'd be fun. So, but they got a nice field in Stirling from when I was there. So
looks at the Wallace Monument, doesn't it? Yeah, you can see it in the background. It's that sort of flat. Yeah,
I wish the parking was a little better, but you know, it's a well stationed field, scenic wise. So and the mound's pretty decent too. So.
Yeah.
If they've got plans to kind of come into the Scottish League as well, or they can.
There was talk about that, and that was one thing that I was hoping could come from me being in Stirling, is starting either them, you know, if they had enough players from the universities to play in the Scottish League, or starting a Stirling club as well there. I tried to do that, but COVID just made that pretty much impossible, you know, and we're going to be the Stirling Claymores. So, but that was, I had the logo and everything, man. I was like, trying to do it big again, you know.
Yeah. Stephen, I can't remember the first time I started talking to you, but I do remember the first time I saw you, actually. And do you remember, like, Baseball Scotland used to do these games in Edinburgh against, like, college teams?
Yeah.
Remember they brought them? So, it's 2019 was my first year. And I remember I went down. I wasn't in the main game because it was my first year, but it was the night before Paul had said, everybody, you know, anybody in the league, if you want a game, a friendly game, come down. So I came down. The game didn't get put in because it was raining, obviously, because it's Scotland and it's June, and that's what happens in June in Scotland. But you were there and you were sitting, and I noticed you because you were sitting throwing knuckleballs to somebody. And I was like, I like knuckleballs. That guy's throwing a knuckleball. And I remember a few months later, actually, you must have pitched against me because I didn't know you that well. And I said to Louis, I said, what's it like to hit against? And he's like, he'll just throw the kitchen sink at you, man. Like, don't sit in anything. He will throw you anything. First pitch you threw me, knuckleball. I was like, right, fuck. What did I do here? What was your sort of pitching repertoire when you were pitching? Were you just a sort of kind of guy hit the zone, or did you mess about in the mound a bit? Or
So I didn't actually start throwing the knuckleball till like later in my career. I remember I started working on the knuckleball my junior year of high school with my buddy in his backyard, just, you know, lightly tossing it back and forth just to get the feel for it. But I didn't throw that till like later in the, like, basically when I came to Scotland, I think it was.
Yeah.
But my approach as a pitcher is like I'm looking at the batter, and I'm pitching to each individual batter as to what I think their strengths and weaknesses are. Big John, is he still playing in the league? Big John? We had some battles when he was playing for the Comets, and I love facing him because, you know, he gets like a mash, dude, you know.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was fun playing strength on strength with him, you know. And he maybe got one fastball every at bat, maybe, you know. It was a bunch of junk to him because I knew he struggled with that. But I just kind of approach each batter, seeing like the first go around, you know, might feel him out. Okay, how are they with the fastball? Are they ahead of it? Are they on time with it? Are they late? Throw you a slider or a curveball? Do you like that? You know, just see how you react to each pitch, and then I kind of just attack you from that. And then there are some sequences I might do. I tell you, there's too many pitchers that always start off with a fastball first pitch, you know, just to find the zone. I am not that pitcher. I will first pitch of the game, throw you a slider. You know, it's what I'm feeling, you know? So each batter is different, but I like pitching. It's a chess match. It's fun.
Yeah. No, it is, and I think you're right. You kind of need to. There's the old saying of you can either pitch to somebody else's weaknesses or you can pitch to your strength, and I think you kind of need to do both, don't you? Like you say, it's whatever I'm feeling on the day, but also I need to kind of know who my hitters are too. So yeah. I like pitching, man. I'm the same as you, but I love the other elements of the game. I really like outfield. This is your podcast. What are you saying? Sorry.
I love playing third base too. When when I played for the military team, I was strictly a pitcher. I was a PO, and we had a practice one day in San Diego, and our third baseman couldn't make it. And I was like, Coach, I got you. I feel in, you know. And so I filled in, and I performed well enough that I became our backup third baseman. Because that's actually what I made varsity my junior year of high school, was as our starting third baseman. I didn't have the speed I had till senior year of high school and then in college. But man, third base, that hot corner, those slow rollers too, man. You get like a little bunt or a little dribbler, you just got to bare hand that across the diamond. Can't do that with my shoulder now, but
yeah. Then get the web gems, don't you, man? It's getting those web gems in the bunts and throwing across the diamond. That's cool, man. I like third base.
Yeah.
It must have been hard playing games in San Diego. It must really suck with the weather there.
So terrible. So terrible.
Terrible.
Turf fields too, you know? So, like, you got those pure hops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stomping in the face.
Go
ahead.
I was going to say, would you describe Aberdeen as the San Diego of Scotland?
I mean, it was one of the drier places to play. A lot of sand too, you know.
Yeah,
palm trees though. So,
I don't think Scotland has a San Diego. Unfortunately, we don't have.
There's that. What's that one beach on the west coast that looks like it should be in the Bahamas? The white sand with the crystal blue waters.
Up north.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I can't believe I never made it there when I was living over there. Man, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
That's the San Diego of Scotland. From the pictures, not from the way it feels.
Yeah. For more San Andreas than San Diego and Scotland.
Baseball aside, is there stuff that you miss about Scotland? Have you had a tatty scone since you've been in Arkansas? Do they sell tatty scones in Arkansas?
No, they don't. I was actually at Bucky's, which is I don't know if you know what Bucky's is.
Yeah.
Big old dude. I'm like Texas-sized gas station, petrol station. And I mean, the one I was at, it's pumps were like an entire football pitch long. It was massive. They were selling scones there. I was like, what? They got scones. but man, I tell you, I miss haggis. I absolutely love haggis.
Bucky's don't do haggis rolls, no.
Nah, you can't get haggis in the UK. It's or the US. It's not allowed. Not traditional haggis anyways.
It was outlawed in 1971. It became illegal to import haggis to the US from the UK due to the ban on food containing sheep lung. So, don't get any. You can stick with our whiskey, but you're not getting any of our haggis.
I miss the whiskey.
Hey, haggis.
Say what?
You can buy a gun at Walmart, but you're not getting any haggis.
I have bought a gun at Walmart. I'm on there. But I miss the whiskey though too. Every time I go to Scotland, come back, I always bring a bottle that I know I can't get here. You know, you get your Glenfiddich and stuff like that here, your big names, but you know, I like Edradour, the small batch stuff, you know, that's stuff you can't get over here. That's what I try to bring back.
One night, as you know, I brought a bottle up one night. I remember we had was McCall and Golden drinking of yours.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That was a good night.
Yeah. I like whiskey.
When you went back to the States, you worked on a baseball job. Did you know you were working?
I did, yeah.
What was it you were doing?
So while I was in Sterling, I did my degree in sport management. And when I moved back to the States, well, I wasn't planning to move back right away because I was hoping to stay on there for a couple more years. But this new indoor baseball facility opened up in my hometown called DBAT, and they were looking for a manager. And I was like, man, that's a perfect fit, you know, like managing a baseball facility in my hometown. I could be near my family doing baseball, still getting paid for it. So I applied and I didn't get the general manager, but I was the assistant manager there, and I was lead instructor, camps director. So wore many hats there, but yeah, it was a good gig. I left that for a corporate job though, because pay was better.
And
then that got laid off there. Now I farm.
Now we farm. I want to tell you something, actually. See, in winter training last year, Glasgow Baseball Association put up a picture of us doing batting practice, and you contacted me, and you told me a few things, but you were talking about loading into the swing and how to turn your hip back and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I actually did listen to you. You might be surprised to find that. And I incorporated that through the year, right? And my batting average went from 2022, I batted 301, to 2023, I batted 356. So I jumped up 55 points based on a tweak in how I load. So very surprised to find out that you actually know what you're talking about a lot of the time.
Yeah, well, you know, I was a hitting coach for Team GB, so I know a thing or two about hitting.
Yeah,
even though I'm a pitcher by trade, I love hitting and I love teaching hitting, so it's a lot of fun.
Are you still involved with Team GB, with the women's team?
No, when I moved back to the States for that job, I had to stop doing GB because I wasn't sure what my time commitment would be with the new job, and with it being a brand new facility, I knew it was probably going to require a lot more of my time to get it up and running and be successful. So I just couldn't commit to both. So
what was it you enjoyed most about it?
So what?
What was you did with GB, and what did you enjoy most about it?
But, I So I was the hitting coach for the women's national team, and it was a brand new team with Team GB. So a lot of it, you know, kind of goes back to the Aberdeen days of like starting a brand new team. You know, we had to find players and do tryouts and scout the talent and then developing that talent. So it was really fun, you know, just kind of just starting from square one and getting the program up and running and then, you know, taking those players through their first probably ever true development plan to become better hitters and better players overall. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Is there any plans for? I know obviously you're kind of settled over where you are, but you're still kind of involved with Baseball Scotland, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm the secretary for the board for Baseball Scotland, so still very much involved with the sport over there. Not as much as I would like to be. I really wish I could still be back in the country and whether it be playing or managing or umpiring, really just doing something with the sport there. Cause I really enjoy helping develop the sport for an entire country. And it's meeting a lot of great people like you folks.
Yeah. So. It must be a pretty cool feeling to know that you've done a big part because obviously Scotland, I bet you probably go over there and you talk about it and people think, you know, baseball in Scotland, this is something we hear quite a lot. You know, even when I went to New York and was telling people that I'm into baseball and people from Scotland are like, I just don't understand that. So, I mean, do you take a good amount of pride in what you've sort of contributed to the development here in Scotland?
Yeah, it's definitely something I like, you know, I kind of puff my chest up. It's like,
yeah,
helping develop the sport that I love and the country that I love, you know. Every time I come back to Scotland, it just feels like I'm flying home, you know. Yeah. So having an impact on the sport and the country I love, you know, it's just there's nothing better than that, you know. And talking about Scottish baseball here in Arkansas, you know, like that's Arkansas is not a place where too many people from Scotland come, you know. So
yeah.
Being able to educate my fellow Arkansans is something I enjoy as well. So.
Yeah, I've always thought you're always really proud of having, I guess, a second home in Scotland.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, like it doesn't matter where I seem to go in Scotland. It's just everybody's really nice and friendly and just it feels like home, man. You know, whether I'm Saki Hall Street in Glasgow, you know, getting a little too drunk there. or, you know, up in high the castle in Edinburgh, Aberdeen, Tayport, you know, it's home, man. And I love it. I love every minute of being there. So, especially around baseball folks. So.
Yeah.
Or getting to talk to people who don't even, like in Scotland, they don't know there's baseball. I remember when I was living in Stirling and the trash guys came around to get our trash and I was outside playing catch with my next door neighbor. And I was like, oh, you're American. And I was like, yeah, actually, you know, I play for a club up in Aberdeen because I was playing up there and he didn't know there was baseball in Scotland and he lived there. And I was telling him about it and I was like, yeah, there's a club in Edinburgh, there's Tayport, you know? And so it was fun spreading the word while I was over there too. That was another challenge is getting the word out about baseball in Scotland. And man, it's just so much fun just doing all that, you know?
Yeah. I think it's one of these sports that, It's just never took off here for whatever reason, you know. But I think the people you do find in Scotland that are passionate about it are really passionate about it. You know, the league, the people behind the league, everyone that turns up every Sunday in the piss and rain to sit for 6 and 10 hours, you know, sometimes to play. We're really thankful to have that, and we're really lucky to have that, aren't we? To have so many people dedicated to making this work and making it visible for people.
Yeah. Big time. Like it shows how much has grown as well, though, with the single A league development league.
Yes.
Like to have one as well now, and you've still got guys who and girls who can't even get into the team yet because there's that many players turning up to play.
Yeah,
which is great. That's what we want. The more people, the better. It's great to have new people coming every single week or you know every couple of weeks, and even if they're coming just to play or to practice, they're ready to play a game yet, but just to get them along and seeing what the game is and educating them more about the game is great.
Yeah, seeing the growth of the sport. I mean, Glasgow, I think when I was there last was like one of the larger clubs in Scotland. Like, y'all just seemed like just infinitely keep growing, and I loved it. You know, y'all kind of always aggravate me because sometimes we just couldn't get past one. It was either the Comets were up or the Galaxy up. I was like, man, can't get past one of these Glasgow teams, man. And then Edinburgh's really, like, they kind of dipped a little bit, but they've been coming back on strong with the Knights and the Angels now too. I love that, Angels and Devils. That's a cool. I like that. Tayport, you know, Jason starting that up, and it was kind of small like Aberdeen, but it's caught fire as well, you know. So, I mean, it's just, I absolutely love seeing the overall growth of the sport, you know, the Triple A, the Single A. That was something that I was trying to strive towards when I was in Aberdeen the first go around in Scotland. So, I love what I see. I think the next step that we need to really do as a league or as a society there in Scotland is really form a strong youth program that gets inner city play, but also cross city play, you know? So, like I said, when I was in Aberdeen, the youth are the foundation that we have to build upon if we want this sport to truly take hold. And I think that's a possibility because baseball is one of the only sports that really offers a summer sport program. Hockey and football are all in the winter, you know, rugby's the winter. So what's really else left in summertime, you know, baseball.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of the skills can transfer over to the other sports, you know, hand-eye coordination, you know, so, yeah.
I think the difficulty is handing young people in Glasgow baseball bats. It isn't always considered the thing you do. Yeah.
I remember we played a game there. It was like 2016 or something like that. And a group of youths came through while we were playing. I think we were playing against the Comets, actually. And we had to stop the game because they came over and sat on our bench, like the Aberdeen side, and like started messing with baseball bats and stuff. And I was on the mound. I was like, no, y'all go. We're not having this. But
I think you're right, but we're an adult league. We rely on people, you know, searching us out and finding us. Most people drop out of sports round about, or they get disinterested when they leave school, you know, 14 to 16 to 18.
Yeah.
But I think you need to instill that passion in people for a young age. I got involved when I was really young and then sort of fell out of it. And I know there's been a few youth programs, but there really isn't a lot there. Baseball Scotland doesn't have a lot of youth provision, man. So hopefully it's something that we're aiming for in the future.
Yeah, it's definitely something that has been discussed, you know. But, you know, it's like all things, it's going to just take time and really getting a development plan together and really working towards it. So we just got to get one thing at a time, you know. So try to do too many things all at once and you're going to fail, but you got to focus on that one thing and then get that and move to the next. And
I think we've covered a lot. Cheers for jumping on tonight. I think we've got a couple of questions that aren't baseball related. I think Bash has got one for you, and then I've got a couple for you.
Your death row meal. So you're in the electric chair. You're getting the injection or something the next day. What's your death row meal? We need a starter. We need a main. We need dessert.
Oh, okay. Starter. Man, that's gonna be a tough one. There's a Cajun stuffed shrimp that are from a restaurant in Altus, Arkansas. It's to die for.
Nice.
The main, I'd have steak and mac and cheese. And dessert, probably chocolate cake for dessert, you know. Screw the carbs. I'm going to die anyways.
That's a good choice there. Yeah. I want to give you a chance to really earn your Scottish citizenship here. We go down as a
legend. Come with a visa?
Yeah, well, these are not included. I have 10 questions here about Scotland, and I've researched these questions myself. I think it would probably be impossible to answer them correctly, even if you lived here all your life. Good luck with it. But I'm going to say that I'm not going to put a timer on you, but I'm going to ask you to be quite quick with them. 10 questions. I'm not going to tell you if you're right or wrong, but I'll circle back to them at the end. All right. Okay. Question number one. There is famously a statue of a dog in the West Lothian town of Linlithgow. What is the name of that statue?
Oh, man. I've been to Linlithgow. I don't know.
That's good. We'll pass on that one. Describe the taste of Iron Brew to an American friend.
Very sugary, very sweet. It's unique.
Okay, so sugary and sweet.
I can't really describe it, man. It's Iron Brew, you know. It's own flavor.
That's it. Okay. Pronounce the name of this town that you see on your screen.
That's not how you pronounce it.
We'll circle back to it, Stephen. Don't worry, we got it. I've got more questions.
You said you picked up Reddit.
Okay, question number four. In January of 2016, a tweet by Tyra Banks unwittingly engaged the majority of Scotland as she encouraged people to turn their hobby into a what?
Can you say it one more time?
In
January of 2016, a tweet by Tyra Banks unwittingly engaged the majority of Scotland as she encouraged people to turn their hobby into a what?
No idea.
Okay, I'll circle back to that. Okay, famous Scottish question. Who is Sir Niels Olav?
Couldn't tell you. Is that the dude from Frozen?
Sure. we'll get through these all. I've got some easy ones towards the end because I was struggling for hard ones. Okay, what are all these words? These are Scottish words. What are they all metaphors for? Pished, bluttered, wasted, ootit, mangled, fleeing, blitzed, sozzled, rubbered, plastered, wrecked.
Well, pished is drunk.
Yeah, they all mean drunk.
Okay,
that's form, drunk. So that's fine. Edinburgh Castle famously housed which beer drinking animal?
Oh, was it a bear?
Okay, I'll tell you at the end.
Oh man, Scotland, I remember doing that on a tour, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Scotland has a motto. I didn't actually know this till today. The motto is Nemo me impugn lacessit. It's obviously Gaelic or something. Do you know what it means?
Nope, not a clue.
No. Okay, I'll tell you. Don't worry. What is Scotland's national animal? This one I do know.
Unicorn.
It is a unicorn, but yeah, well done. Ty Cobb actually moved to Scotland after he finished his career. Where did he stay?
Saki Hall Street.
Yeah, cool. I don't know the answer to that. I just genuinely want to know. I've been researching it for ages, but I'm going to say Cooper. In Fife.
Okay.
No idea why. Maybe it just seems like a nice place.
I think he liked to drink, so I'd say it's like, I'll get a beverage, you know?
Yeah, up that way. Okay, so I'll go through the answer to these and I can give you a research about them. There is a dog, famously a dog statue in the West Lothian town of Linlithgow. The dog, I was hoping you'd say it because I don't really want to say it, but it's called the Black Bitch. They've got
I thought it was a pub that was named the Black Bitch. Because I remember there's controversy over that. I was like, dude, it's like in the 16th century or something like that.
Yeah, so they when they sentence people to death, they used to tie them up in the wee island in the middle of the loch, and they tied someone up, sentenced them to death, and they kept looking every morning and found out that he wasn't wasting away, he wasn't dying. So they went out in the morning and kept eyes on him the whole day. And his wife had been sending the wee black dog over with food to swim across the loch. So,
oh wow!
It became known as the Black Bitch of Linlithgow due to that. So,
before you know.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of the literature around there is around that, quite controversially. I don't know how to describe the taste of Iron Brew. You did a good shout, sugary. Yeah. It tastes like Iron Brew. Bash, do you know how to pronounce this town?
Mungavi.
That's what I said.
It's Mungai.
Oh, Mungai.
Mungai.
You know what? Now that you say that, I have seen that before. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Mungai. Famous Scott question, who is Sir Niels Olav's? He's the only penguin in the world that's been knighted. He lives in Edinburgh Zoo, and he was knighted by the King of Norway. I've no idea why we have stuff like this in Scotland, but yeah, we've got a knighted penguin.
I mean, Edinburgh, I was kind of Frozen, you know, Frozen, penguin.
Olav. Yeah. So Olav actually got a promotion. The King of Norway came over to meet him like 3 years ago and promoted him to Reginald Reg. I don't know. Yeah, Sutton, but he got promoted. It was in the paper. this Penguin that got the King. How does that feel, by the way, serving for your country and somebody else, a wee Penguin out in a zoo, is getting knighted and you're not even getting recognised? You risk your life and all that. Yeah. Like, I'll go through the other ones. Edinburgh Castle famously housed a beer-drinking elephant, and while she was there, she was known also as the most attractive woman in Scotland. So Scotland has a motto, Nemo me impune licet. It means no one provokes me with impunity. I kind of translated that into modern day language, which I guess means fuck around and find out, which I quite like. Scotland's national animal is the unicorn, and I don't know where Ty Cobb moved to. We're going with Cooper or Sucky Hall Street. So
Cooper. He's not going
Cooper. I don't even know what's in Cooper. Like, I'm just
Stirling.
Where?
Stirling. I'm gonna go for Stirling.
Stirling. Stirling's a good shout, man. That'll be somewhere near the city. Aberdeen. That's it. Any Aberdeen.
I went to see the Oilers. Yeah.
Like, we were a game.
We were away then.
That was good. I enjoyed that. Stephen, I don't know if you... What else have you got going on in the future? You're not playing anymore at all, no?
Actually, yeah. So there's a men's league here. It's a Wood Bat League. We have our first game on Sunday. So
awesome.
Yeah. Still attempting to play. Last season was the first season I played with them, and they started in July. And I don't know if y'all know about weather in July here in Arkansas. It's like 40-plus degrees with humidity. And it was absolutely miserable. And I made it about
miserable. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it really is. Like, I made it three games. Yeah. That third game, I got heat sickness. And so did, like, half the team. And I never recovered from it for the rest of that season. I had to miss the rest of the season.
You know what we get? We get the flu when we play games here.
Yeah, well, it's also pneumonia. Not there, so
we get wind, burn, and pneumonia. That's what we get over here.
I'm pretty sure I was playing in Glasgow at the weekend, and I think I picked up a touch of leprosy. That's how bad I've actually gotten.
It was nice on Sunday. It was a pretty
It was good. It was good, actually. It was really. We were told it was going to be storms, but it held off. So, yeah, it was good.
It was good.
Talk to Connor from the Cannons. He came over one summer to work out with me and stuff like that. And he didn't like the heat. So.
He likes that grey up in Aberdeen, though. That's why it's,
going from Scotland to here, like, that's
pretty extreme.
So
Gil, thanks again for joining us. That's just cool to catch up with you, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, always enjoyed playing against you, and hopefully I'll see you back in Scotland sometime in the future.
Anybody need some pointers, hit me up. I got you.
We will be back again in 2 weeks with another podcast episode. Don't know who we'll have on yet. Where are you guys next week, Bash? Where's your next game?
We have the Galaxy at home, so we're hoping to put a dent in their perfect season.
Ah, nice one. So that's a triple, that's a single A and the triple A. Looking forward to our home game.
Who have you got?
We got the Devils, so we're at home as well. So Devils have been surprisingly, don't want to say surprisingly, but Galaxy finished outside postseason sort of contention last year, so did the Devils, and both of them right now are flying. I think the only teams not to pick up a win, unfortunately, are the Comets and Aberdeen. So we'll be looking to pick up our first win in the Triple A. Yeah.
Well, if you play the way you did on Sunday, you're not far from it, I tell you.
All pitching into it, so we'll need to wait and see. But good catching up with you guys again, Bash. I'll catch you in a couple of weeks, and I'll see you around online, I guess. All right,
You're welcome.
Take care of yourself, guys. All right,
take care.
Cheers.